Welcome to Hacking Your ADHD. I'm your host, William Kerb, and I have ADHD. On this podcast, I dig into the tools, tactics, and best practices to help you work with your ADHD brain. Hey team, this week I'm talking with Kristen Carter, the host of the I Have ADHD podcast. In this episode, we dive into the nitty-gritty of ADHD, but also how advice for neurotypicals often doesn't work for those of us with ADHD. We'll hear things about how we always need to be consistent, but with ADHD, not only is this hard, it can feel downright impossible. Instead, Kristen and I discuss how we can embrace our inconsistency and instead focus on being persistent. If you'd like to follow along on the show notes page, you can find that at hackingyouradhd.com/138. This episode is brought to you by the Skylight Calendar. Using a calendar is one of the most important things we can do to help our ADHD brains. But when our calendars are tucked away or out of sight, it can be hard to follow through with what our intentions are. The Skylight Touchscreen Smart Calendar can help bring out that visual reminder that we need. The Skylight Calendar syncs all of the different digital calendars and events your family uses and shows them all together on one beautiful touchscreen display. And the new chore chart feature shows organized lists of what each person needs to get done so they can check them off and stay on top of household duties. Just trying to remember what's on my calendar is a no-go with my ADHD brain. With lacrosse practice, music lessons, birthday parties, game night, and all the other events week to week, my family needs the reminders of what's going on every day. This calendar provides a convenient place where everyone in the family can check in and see what's going on, and I just love the fact that it syncs up with all the calendars that we already have. Now, as a special offer, you can get up to $30 off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com and enter the code HACKING. Again, skylightcal.com and enter code HACKING. That's skylightcal.com with promo code HACKING. All right, keep on listening to find out how we can embrace inconsistency and still get to the things we need to do. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and about your podcast, the I Have ADHD podcast?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. Love chatting with a fellow podcaster, fellow ADHDer, all the things in common. Really appreciate you having me. So I started the I Have ADHD podcast at the very end of 2018. And I have been podcasting ever since. It took me a while to identify as a podcaster. I just felt like a random woman talking about ADHD. And
yeah, I can totally relate to all of that. Sometimes I'm like always just like, I'm just a guy in my house.
I know.
Especially with what we're talking about today, because it's like trying to be consistent with our work, but that does not always work so well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait to get into it because I think that so many of us ADHDers really do ourselves a disservice when we set the bar at being consistent, because that's just really not going to be attainable for us. And if you're anything like me, when you do fail, inevitably, to be consistent, there's a lot of shame and self-judgment and self-blame and just feeling like you have to start over and why can't I just do this? And everybody else seems to be able to do this. So there's a lot of like beating myself up when the bar is being consistent.
Well, and it's not just the consistency there. It's like the perfectly consistent. Like I can have no deviation of what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that black and white thinking, right? It's like, I don't want to look over the year and say like, oh yeah, I've podcasted more times than not. I want to look over the year and say 52 weeks out of 52 weeks, I have published a podcast, right? Yeah. So I don't want to deviate from that at all. I totally agree.
Yeah. Last week I had to, pop up a rebroadcast episode. Mm-hmm. And so even though I'm getting an episode up, my brain's like, well, you didn't get new episode up every week.
Yeah, I resonate with that so much. It's like, even when, you know, life gets hard and stuff gets in the way. I don't know why we don't just acknowledge that and really let ourselves off the hook, but we struggle with that. Stuff gets in the way. And so even though you made a plan and you're like, okay, it's not perfect, but like we are going to rebroadcast this, the brain still wants to say like, not good enough, not perfect. We can't put that in the win category. That has to go in the loss category. And yeah, I really think there could be some reframing around that.
Yeah, things completely come up that we're not expecting. So part of the reason for my rebroadcast is a couple of weeks ago, I went and played some Ultimate Frisbee, and it's great to get out and get exercise. But I misstepped and slipped and ripped my quad.
No.
And so like I was having to go to doctor's appointments. I had to get an MRI on my leg. And it's like all of that takes time. All of that takes this like emotional and mental energy load.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot harder to do other things. And so, I mean, fortunately, I'm at a place where I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand. I put up the rebroadcast. I don't even really want the perfect score because I know that's going to be worse for my mental health down the road.
For sure.
But like, yeah, things like that will come up. Mm-hmm. And it's, I have to adjust myself to those new things because I can't just be like, well, I had this plan, but all this new stuff happened and I have to disregard that to stick to this plan.
Yeah, I think that we really want to, I just think it's a perfectionism thing, which, you know, Dr. Ramsey, I love his book, Rethinking Adult ADHD. And he talks about how perfectionism is the number one thought distortion for adults with ADHD. So it's like, we almost can't help ourselves in being perfectionistic about it. And if we know that in advance and can recognize it, oh, I see what's happening here. I'm just being really perfectionistic. Then we can maybe like let it go. But yeah, our brain just wants to be like, no, you need to suffer through your injury. You need to spend all of your emotional and mental energy trying to get well, and you have to produce new content for your podcast. You have to do all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. A few years back, I had a big revelation about perfection too, because I tied up so much of my self-worth in what I produced.
Mm.
But then I was like, had this guy, oh, if I'm a perfectionist and I know I literally can never be perfect with what I produce, then I am never going to have self-worth based off of that thing. And I was like, oh no, that's, if I want to have self-worth, I have to change things.
So good. So what did you come up with? What was your, like, how did you change that?
A number of things that I worked on were really small and seem silly to me now, but were like writing in my journal with different colored pens. Mm. Like I didn't have to have the same pen so that it looked uniform and nice. And then also being like, I can also miss days on that journal. And I don't have to come back with writing, oh, sorry, I missed writing for a month or whatever. Just being like, yeah, I just hit back where I was trying to get away from a lot of like the daisy chains or like, you know, this, I'm going to mark off every day that I did this habit because the longer I kept up those chains, the worse off I was when the chain broke.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, that resonates with me.
Yeah. In my house, we have dark blue plates and light blue plates. And they used to have to be, they had the dark blue plates here and the light blue plates here. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to not care about that anymore. I'm just going to let those be mixed up.
So you went like really wild.
Yeah, just mixing up plates. And it was like, at the first, it was really hard. And now I'm like, oh, there's a neat pattern there.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it so fascinating? And I am not saying this to demean what you've expressed. I'm saying it because I resonate with it so deeply that something like plate colors can make us think that we're a good person or a bad person, right? It's where we're getting our sense of like, okay, I'm doing all right because the plates are stacked the way they quote unquote should be. And I think so much of learning how to be an adult with ADHD and really accepting the disorder and accepting ourselves is realizing that like so very little of what we think matters actually matters. So very little. Plate colors, that does not say anything about who I am. How messy my house is does not say anything about who I am. Whether or not I'm able to make it to work on time. Now, I know some of the listeners might want to argue this, but I will argue it. Like, it doesn't say anything about who I am. My ability to show up somewhere on time is not related to how good of a person I am. And I think all of those things that we've attached to our self-worth really need to be untangled for us to just like breathe a sigh of relief and be comfortable in our own skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I used to have so much trouble being like, okay, I'm driving my kid to kindergarten or even preschool. And I'm like, I'm worried we're going to be late. Mm-hmm. And then sitting with that, you know, I'm like, I'd be like, you know, driving a little too fast. And then I'm like, getting perspective. I'm like, I'm driving my kid to preschool. There's no consequences if we're late. I mean, there are if I'm way late, but sure. I'm like, oh, you cannot drop your kid off at that point. Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. But you know, if I'm like 5 minutes late, that's not
right
an issue. It's the, and so I'm like, okay, you need to try and give myself a little bit more perspective on that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then even thinking about like, what kind of experience are you creating in the car? Mm-hmm. On the way to preschool for you, for like for yourself, for your kiddo, for the other drivers out there, right? Like it's so much bigger than just like, I have to get there on time.
Yeah. Cause I'd be like, what if I was in a car accident because I'm rushing to get to preschool?
Right. With your precious baby. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what if I hurt someone else? How would I like explain to them, well, I had to get to preschool on time.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's not. Okay. That's not life or death.
Totally. Yeah. That's such a good perspective.
Yeah. And it's, and we can apply it to so many other things because we're just, we get really wrapped up in this idea that this is the way we have to do things and the way neurotypicals have to do things. Now, so we have to do it. And if we don't, again, yeah, we feel like we're bad people.
Yeah. And again, that's like setting the bar for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think we really need to assess the bar and say like, is this a bar that I can even meet? Do I even care about this bar? You know, when I set a goal, when I set a should for myself, when I set like an aspiration, really assessing it. Is that something I'm able to meet? Is that something that I actually care about? Does that really matter? And I think that perspective is just so important.
And it's okay if we do be like, hey, these things do matter to me, you know, like,
sure.
Okay, like say it is like, okay, it is very important that I get to places on time. Then we need to figure out what those strategies are to make that happen.
Yeah. What support do you have in place knowing that it's going to be harder for you than the average person?
Yeah. Cause it's getting out the door hard. How can we make that easier? With my kids, it's like, we have checklists. Like you need to do these things before we can leave. Like, you know, and it's also like, I need to make sure when we're going downstairs in the morning, like, hey, do you have your socks? Because 90% of the time, they don't have their socks.
Socks and ADHD kids. Like, my husband is neurotypical, God bless him. And myself, obviously, I have ADHD, and two of our three children do as well. And the sock issue drives him bonkers because there's socks everywhere. Like our house is fairly tidy and yet socks everywhere. And, you know, they'll just walk in the door, socks on the ground, socks on the counter, socks everywhere. And he's just like, I don't understand what is happening with the socks. I'm like, just let it go. It's just a thing.
I remember finding a pair of my daughter's socks like hidden in a planter. She's like, yes. I'm just gonna hide these here. Then no one will know that I took them off.
That's so good. That's hysterical.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's, yeah, we can build up these strategies to be like, okay, how do we get the socks on? How do we make sure that we know when we need to leave? Like, and sometimes it's easy to be like, well, I feel like I shouldn't need these. And it's like, well, does it, what we should or shouldn't need, that's kind of like, doesn't matter. What do we need?
Yeah. I hear that so often from clients, especially people new to my coaching program. And my reframe of that is always, yes, you should. You totally should need extra support. You totally should need extra time. You totally should need to make yourself a note and a sticky note and all of the things. Like, you should need it. You have ADHD. This is not, like, if you didn't need it, you probably don't have ADHD, right? So, like, if you do have ADHD and you're time blind and you're like struggling with working memory and all of those things, like, you're gonna need some extra support. You should need it. And so, how can we take care of those needs? How can you set yourself up for success knowing that it's harder for you than the average person? I mean, I just think that needs to be, like, understood across the board. This is going to be harder. Okay, now, what do I want to do about that? How do I want to support myself and make it easier?
Yeah, and then still giving ourselves grace if those things don't work and being,
yeah,
like, okay, well, that didn't work that time. How can I make, that doesn't mean I'm bad. It means I need to work on these strategies.
So good. Totally agree.
Yeah, because I've had, like, I use so much, I have so many strategies I use. And then sometimes I'm like looking at my calendar, you know, and go, oh God, how did I not know this was coming up?
Been there.
Like yesterday I had to pick my daughter. She had a half day school and I was looking at my calendar. Like, I even knew this. I discussed this with my wife yesterday and this caught me off guard.
Okay. Can we just take a minute to say half days? Why? Why? Why half days? They ruin the routine. They always are a surprise, even when you know about them. Why half days, y'all?
What do you do with the other half of the day?
Like, I still have to work.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, you'll come home and I guess you're just going to get a bunch of iPad today.
Yes, enjoy it.
What we were coming on to talk about to see this idea of being inconsistent and kind of embracing that inconsistency. Mm-hmm. And I think that really falls into place here with how we set up these strategies so we can try and be consistent, but that's not really the goal either.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I think the conventional wisdom for anybody wanting to participate in self-improvement, self-development, whether it's mental health, mindfulness, or just like physical health, eating healthy, working out, is be consistent. The only way to be successful is to be consistent. And I 100% disagree. And so I get very fired up and I was just about to ask you, like, am I allowed to curse on this podcast? But I'm going to refrain. And I'm just going to say, we need to throw that idea in the trash can. It is not true that the only way to be successful is to be consistent. It's absolutely untrue. And I love to dismantle that belief first and say, that's not the only pathway to success. And when we believe it is the only pathway to success and we can't meet that expectation, then all of a sudden we're a failure. We're working towards a goal. We're doing a decent job, but we are inconsistent. And yet we are classifying ourselves as a failure because consistent is the bar. And again, we this is kind of like a theme throughout this episode, is like talking about that bar, like that expectation, that thing that we're saying, like, this is, you know, this is the goal. This is what I want to meet. If being consistent is the bar, I promise you, you will never be able to reach that goal. And sorry, ADHDer, like, you're not going to be consistent, but that doesn't matter. Because all you need to be is persistent. And I know all of your listeners are persistent AF. Like, I know that ADHDers are so persistent. They try and fail and try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. Our entire lives are made up of being persistent. So we've got a lot of evidence that we can be persistent. And so we can just throw consistency in the trash. and just say, listen, that's not true. When you see like the memes on Instagram, it's like, if you want to lose that 20 pounds, you've got to be consistent. Or if you want to make it in business, you got to be consistent. No, that's not true. That's not true. I've built a beautiful life living very inconsistently, but I am willing to be on day one a million times. I'm willing to be like, this is day one and let's go again. Okay, day one, let's go again. Day one, let's go again. And I think that building up a tolerance for day one, that's the thing, right? So like, you know, you have those mindfulness apps and you're just like, okay, I'm on day four of my mindfulness app. And then all of a sudden you're back to day one. You're like, well, I hate being on day one, sucks. I don't want to do day one. I'm not even going to do it now. No, yeah. Day one's my favorite. We're doing day one every day. Let's go. Right. And so instead it's like, we're going to drop the idea of you have to be consistent to be successful. And we're going to say, I'm going to be persistent and I'm going to try and fail and try and fail and start over 100 times until I get there.
And I think this goes just hand in hand what we were saying about perfection earlier.
Like, yeah,
because one of the best things I found for my perfection is screw up early.
Love it.
Especially so like, oh, you know, you'll want to start something off the beginning of the year. I'm like, well, that means I can't do anything on day one. Can start
day
two.
That's so good. And I love, like, that.
I can't even, like, before I even start, there's no chance of being perfect. Because, and I should know there's no chance of me being perfect anyways, but having that like written, like, well, I can't have the secret goal in the back of my head now.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy. I think what we do is we get a shot of dopamine early, before we've even done anything. We get the shot of dopamine from the fantasy, and we plan it out. I like to say we like bedazzle our planner. I don't know if you're like too young to remember the bedazzler that was sold in like the 90s, where you like put gems on stuff. Like, we bedazzle it, we make it pretty, and we just like get that shot of dopamine from the beautiful plan.
Yeah.
And then when inevitably reality hits and you like tear your whatever muscle it was that you tore, and you're just like, you know, I've got two kids and we're late and there's socks everywhere. That's reality. Like, actually pursuing your goals doesn't feel good. It feels good to think about it in advance and make the pretty plan, but following through and like doing the work, that doesn't feel good. Just like having a podcast feels great, but podcasting, that's not really fun. That's work. I don't feel like doing that. Right. And so it's like, it's navigating this like fantasy reality situation. And if we can just get ourselves into reality, which is, I'm not going to be consistent, and that's okay. I don't have to be. I can be persistent. I can reach my goals one after the other, just trying and failing and trying and failing, and not shame spiraling every time I mess up. Because I think that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
We mess up and then it's like, well, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it. And this is probably just an ADHD. Like, I shouldn't have even started. I don't even know why I bothered. Shame, 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 shame. And now I'm eating ice cream on the couch watching Netflix because I feel so terrible about myself. Rather than just being like, oh, I screwed up.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And we feel like, well, we're like, we knew this was going to happen. And why did we even try?
Yes. And what I want to reframe with that is, when you plan for being inconsistent, then you know it's going to happen. And you're like, oh, here it is. I'm being inconsistent. This is how I get to my goal. So if my goal is to move my body 4 times a week and like it's been twice a week, when I have the goal of like, I have to do it 4 times a week or else my self-worth is going down the drain, then I can't even get started the next week. Cause I'm like, well, I knew I would just mess up. There's no point in even trying. But if it's like, I'm going to plan to do it 4 times a week, but I will be inconsistent. So I'm going to look at it over the course of a month and see if I can do as many weeks as I can at 4 times a week. And just, oh, I did it twice a week. That's a win. That's closer to my goal than zero. So that's a win. All right, next time we're going for 3. Let's try to do 3 this week. And just allowing for the ebb and flow of life, like allowing for it to not be the same all the time. We are not robots.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings is anything worth doing is worth doing poorly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, don't have to do it well.
Yeah.
If it's worth doing, even the smallest amount you do is good.
Yeah.
It's an improvement from yesterday when you did zero.
So true. Because if, like, let's say you have a goal to make an extra $1,000 in a month and you quote unquote only make $300, you have 300 extra dollars in your bank account. Like, why are we mad about that? So like next month, let's have the same goal of $1,000 and do $400, right? Like, I think you're absolutely right. Let's try it again. Let's keep going so that we can get to that $1,000 mark eventually.
We'll also have these things in our heads where like, well, if I had done X, Y, and Z too, then I would have made it, and discount the reasons that we didn't do those things. Mm. I find so often when I like look back on, you know, like I'm sure like in 2 months I'll look back and be like, why wasn't I doing stuff? And then I'll have to remind myself, oh, because you were badly injured. That's why you weren't exercising quite as much.
Totally. I just my heart just like breaks for our community sometimes because I think we just don't give ourselves the space to be fully human. And we think that, and I know I'm painting with a very broad brush right now, but, you know, I just feel like we struggle so much to just allow ourselves the ebb and flow of energy and mental health and hormones and physical health and just like family health and like what's going on in the world even. Like we just think that we should show up the same every day. And I just don't believe that that's actually true.
I mean, and it's not possible to do because, you know, I'll log on and I'll read some terrible news and I'm like, well, now I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's really hard to account for ahead of time. So it's like, I think part of this also has to come in to be like, hey, let's do less stuff or, you know, make the goal smaller because there are things that are going to come up.
I am all in on making goals smaller, 100%. And again, I think this is the ability to live in reality versus the desire to be in the fantasy. Oh yeah, I could definitely do that. There's no problem. We'll have time for it. I'll make it work. You know, like that kind of fantasy thinking about tomorrow or about next week or about next month. And then all of the sudden reality hits and you're like, why did I agree to do this? Why did I say this was fine? Why is my day so full? How am I going to even function? And I think that ADHDers need to continually pull ourselves into the reality of I'm a human being with limited capacity, with limited emotional and mental space and energy. And being able to understand that, yes, stuff comes up. Like we need to build in that buffer time for emotional regulation. I need to build in time to scroll on my phone, literally, so that I can get into the zone of working. It's just like part of what I do. I scroll Instagram and I like pump myself up and then I'm like, okay, let's go. But that's an important time for me. And somebody might look at that and be like, you shouldn't need that. And I'm like, well, I do. And this is part of what gets me rolling. So I think planning for that buffer time is really important.
Yeah, it's because we don't know what's going to come up. And we often try to plan things as if we're, you know, we're going to have 1,000% energy the entire time we're doing the project. We're like, well, I have all this motivation now. That's definitely going to last for the next 3 weeks.
Oh man, yeah, that's a cute, adorable fantasy that I just did this to myself recently. I had this idea. This was a couple months ago. I was hiking. I love to hike. Love being in nature. Love moving my body in that way. And was thinking about like, what should I, you know, do for a podcast episode? And I was like, oh my gosh, I should do a series on executive functions. That'll be so easy. I bet I'll be able to do two in one day. I literally was like, I'll be able to do two today. It took me months to pump out those darn episodes. Like, it was so hard. And the contrast of the fantasy that I had versus the reality of like what it actually took to get it done was so huge. And yet, I will probably do that to myself again. But what I want to remember is, wait, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like, what is actually involved in this? I'm going to set a goal for myself. Okay, wait, hang on. Before we proceed, what's actually involved? What are going to be the roadblocks? What's going to be hard? What support do you need? How long do you think it will take? And then double that time. Always double it, at least. That's what I do for myself. Whatever I think it's going to take, I'm going to double it.
You double it, then you get there like, oh, that still was not enough.
I know, every time.
Yeah. I have so many episodes that I work on where I'm just like, yeah, I know about this topic. This should be easy. I'm currently working on one on dopamine, and I'm like,
oh my God.
And I'm like, I got this. I'm like writing stuff, and I'm like, I should double check this fact. And I fall down rabbit holes about reading about new research. And I'm like, okay, this took a lot longer than I anticipated.
Yes. Yeah, it always does. And I don't know why. I think it is kind of like a coping mechanism that we make it seem easy. Like, we convince ourselves at the beginning that it's going to be easy so that we're willing to start. I'm guessing, I don't have any like data on that, but I'm guessing that's why we do it. But then we're kind of stuck because we're like, well, this isn't easy. Like, do I want to keep going? Is it worth it? And that whole debacle can be really confusing.
Yeah, I think that's also like, we tell ourselves this will be easy. And then when it's not as easy, we get so much resistance to things. And this is like, I'll do this for like the dishes. I'm like, oh, that'll be easy to do. And then I'll walk over and I'm like, oh, I also have to unload the dishwasher. That wasn't in the plan.
Yes. There's pots on the stove. You want me to actually scrub? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, if I approach things as being maybe hard, or even if not hard, just, you know, a little bit more difficult, then it's a lot easier to be like, okay, I have to figure out what I'm actually doing. And that can lead to me actually doing stuff.
For sure. And again, that's just reality, right? So like, this is just easy. And then you're like, wait a second. Anytime I say this is going to be easy, this is going to be fun, or this is exciting, those are my three, like my own personal buzzwords where I need to check in with myself to be like, are you sure? Like, let's actually hop into reality here and make sure that we know what we're doing. Because easy, fun, and exciting are, I like to call them problematic. They're problematic, positive emotions. Life is not usually easy, fun, and exciting. We want it to be, but it's just like the reality of it is that it's just usually not.
Yeah, we have to have those, especially with ADHD, have to have those red flags around our thinking patterns. Like, if I ever go, oh, I'll remember that. In what world has that been the case?
Right. Major red flag.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh man, I had something where I thought that last night. I don't remember what it was about now, but I remember specifically having that thought last night and being like, oh yeah, that thing will remind me. And now I have no clue what it was.
Did you write it down?
No, I was like, I had just turned out the light to go to bed. And I'm like, I'm not turning on a light at this point. And
oh my gosh, I love it.
I'll just pretend that it's going to be okay.
You'll be fine. It'll be great. It'll be great.
Yeah. At some point, I'll just be like, oh, that thing.
That's great. As long as like, you know, when to pick your kids up, that's the thing for me that I have to like set reminders for and make sure that I am not forgetting that I have children, because ADHD is a very out of sight, out of mind disorder. And sometimes you forget you've got kids.
Yeah, or just anything you have to do. And you're like, I'll be heading there myself soon. And another half day. But yeah, that's the setting of these strategies. Like, okay, these are things I know that are absolutely, I cannot miss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't not pick up my kids. School will be very upset with me. Then I'm like, okay, how am I going to set my reminder so that that happens, that I don't have an unfortunate bout of hyperfocus 10 minutes before I'm supposed to leave?
Yeah, I interviewed a therapist a couple weeks ago. Her name is Helen Villers, and she described, like, we're all juggling balls. Mm-hmm. We've all got balls in the air, right? And she said, I just take time to assess which balls are glass and which balls are plastic. And I was like, that is brilliant. So the glass balls, you know, if you drop that ball, so to speak, it's going to crash and break, and it's not a good thing. Like picking up kids from school at the proper time, glass ball. But then we also are juggling things that are, you know, quote unquote, plastic balls, where if we drop them, it's like, it's not the end of the world. And I thought that was such good advice for our coping strategies. It's just like making sure we know which balls are glass and making sure we know which balls are plastic.
Yeah. And it's something that's worth thinking ahead about ahead of time, because we do have trouble prioritizing things. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have trouble prioritizing my kids, but prioritizing my day to make sure that I will be the places I need to be for them can be hard.
Sure. Sure. Yep. I totally agree.
All right. Well, we're coming up on time here. So just so people know more, if they want to find out more about you, because I'm sure they will want to hear more, because you have the I Have ADHD podcast. For people that want to tune in, it's very similar format to this show. So if you like this show, you'll probably like hers as well. other things that are the places that people should look for you?
Sure. So my website is ihaveadhd.com. And I like to hang out on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at I Have ADHD Podcast. I mean, if you're a Facebook user, I'm on there too, but I don't really hang there, if you know what I mean. I'm constantly lurking on Instagram. That's like my happy little place. My website, ihaveadhd.com, and my Instagram at I Have ADHD Podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think people will really enjoy this, because I know one of my favorite shirts I have is just says consistently inconsistent.
Love. That's so great. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun to connect with you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Kristen for coming on the show. Be sure to check out her podcast, the I Have ADHD Podcast. That's it. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. You can leave me a message over at hackingyouradhd.com/contact. You can also reach me on Twitter at hackingyouradhd, and I've also just launched a TikTok channel that you can find by searching for Hacking Your ADHD. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can find those on the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com. If you'd like to support the podcast, the best way is to share episodes with someone you think would get something out of it. Just click the share button on your podcast player and send your bestie the link with something like, "Hey, I loved this episode of Hacking Your ADHD. I'd bet you'd get a lot out of it too." Or you can support the show through my Patreon at hackingyouradhd.com/Patreon. Sign up for the $2, $5, $10, $25, or even $50 a month level and get some great perks like monthly bonus content or early access to upcoming episodes. That's hackingyouradhd.com/Patreon. And be sure to check out all the other podcasts on the ADHD Rewired Podcast Network. For interviews with fellow ADHDers and ADHD experts, check out Eric Tiver's show, ADHD Rewired. For those of you with kids, be sure to check out Brendan Mahan's show, ADHD Essentials. And even if you don't have kids, his show is still a great resource for ADHD management. If you're interested in exploring issues of race and diversity in ADHD, be sure to check out ADHD Diversified with MJ. I also do a live Q&A with all the hosts of the ADHD Rewired Podcast Network on the second Tuesday of the month at 10:30 a.m. Pacific. If you'd like to sign up, just go to ADHDrewired.com/events. And now for your moment of dad. I recently heard that cows can produce 50% more milk if you talk or sing to them while you're milking them. Apparently, it goes in one ear and comes out the other.